Here I am, send me. That's a loaded statement. Oh, boy. We always have really good intentions when we say things like that, but we just don't know what we're asking. We really don't. There's joy in the house today. You know, I think about, oh boy, this could get really ugly. I think about when the disciples were with Jesus and, you know, they had the loaves and the fish, and the disciples are tired and they just want to go. They want to go take a nap. And there's 5,000 people to feed, and that's not women and children. That's... And Jesus being Jesus turns to them. They're tired. They want to send the crowd away. He says, you feed them. Oh boy. But what they didn't know was what we're going to talk about here in Isaiah 6:1-8, that the whole earth is full of his glory. See, I had this screwed up because I thought the glory was going to spread somewhere. God's like, that's not how it works. He's like, my glory's everywhere. I don't know what you're talking about. It's the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. The disciples didn't know it. And Jesus has to pull back heaven and go, guys, the glory's here. I don't know what you're waiting on. Religion teaches you to wait on something that's coming. Jesus said everything is right here, right now for you. God, send joy. It's here. God, send your healing. It's here. God, I need a miracle. It's here. Oh. It's the realization that the glory of God has come and it's filled the earth. So Jesus walks the earth fully God, fully man. I hope you're not in a hurry today, because we are not stopping at noon. Comes as 100% God, 100% man. And he's got a mission. He wants to make a bunch of people just like him. This is where we get in trouble. Because we want to look in the mirror and I want to say, well, that's Ben Cope. And that's all cool and everything, but that's the name my parents gave me. Jesus said, no, you're not who you think you are. You're actually a son of the living God. What? Son of what? You're a son of the living God. In fact, the whole creation is waiting for you. It's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. But as long as I keep looking in this mirror and I see Ben Cope, I see Adam, the old nature, I see this corrupt person, you're blocked from it. But as soon as you look in the mirror and you see that Jesus has come on the inside of you and you see that he's actually looking out through your eyes, he's actually downloading blueprints and words from heaven to speak out of you. And when you say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, things have got to line up, because the Son of God has come into your temple. He has not come to live in a temple made with hands. He has come into your temple The Son of God has come into your temple, and it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The only hope of glory is for you to look in the mirror and see that you're a son and you're being manifested in the earth. See, listen, we have a tendency, we have a tendency. To keep putting things off and to keep putting things off and to keep putting things off. But I believe where we're at right now is the realization that everything you will ever need, peace, joy, healing, a miracle, a sign, a wonder, is actually here right now. Lord, we thank you for your glory. You want peace? Have it. You need a miracle? Take it. You need healed? It's here. You need a word from God? He'll speak from heaven. Lord, we glorify you right now that you're the Alpha and the Omega, that you're the beginning and the end, that you're the A and the Z, that it all begins and ends with you. You're the author and finisher of our faith. And you have come to show yourself strong in this house. And this house will be a beacon to many other houses, because I have downloaded a blueprint specifically for this house. And there's going to be other houses, and they're going to want to read the blueprint. They're going to say, how did you do it? How did you do it? How did you do it? And we're going to say, we had a revelation that God is here amongst us. We had a revelation that we are not waiting on something to happen, but that something has happened here. I'm sorry, I'm going to walk around a little bit. Because there's ripple effects when you walk around. There's ripple effects when you go into your workplace. There's ripple effects when you walk into a grocery store. You say, why? Because you are seated with him in heavenly places. Well, I want to die and go to heaven. Hello! You hear me? I want to die and go to heaven. The problem is, the prayer was, Lord, heaven come to earth. Not, I want to go to heaven. Jesus' prayer was, heaven come to earth. Heaven come to earth. Miracles come to earth. Healing come to earth. Blind eyes be open here on earth. The dead be raised here on earth. We got to stop waiting for something to happen. It's here. Well, revival's 3 weeks from now. No, revival's here. Wake up and see it. Wake up and see that the glory of God has filled the earth. And the closer you get to knowing it, the faster you get healed, the faster you move into peace, the faster you move to, well, my circumstances and my everything's pointing the opposite direction. Who cares? Do you think an obstacle is something that Jesus can't overcome? He said, I've not only overcome, but I've spoken into you and made you an overcomer. Catch fire. Catch fire. I'm speaking to every heart in here to catch fire. Do you have a dead heart? Catch fire. Someone has to see you with passion. Ah. What in the world's going on, Mark Plaguey? Okay, let's get into the scriptures.
I told you that the church moving forward is going to be the greatest show on earth. Well, I want to sit around and binge watch Netflix. I'm on my 10th season of 8 episodes. Hello? When has Netflix ever healed you? Get in your Bible. Get into worship. Drop the dead things off of you. Well, I don't understand why I can't feel God. That's because you watch 7 seasons of Suits. And all these images and all these voices are now on the inside of you. And God's literally like, my goodness, will you stop looking for glory in something that is physical? You can send all emails and letters and texts to Mark Plaguey. Somebody was in front of the congregation and they were talking like a wild man. And I did not agree with what they were saying. God doesn't care. All right. God has raised up a company of believers who have said yes. No matter what the cost, no matter what it looks like, we have gotten so tired of the garbage of the world vomiting on us over and over and over again. That's why God's like, come out of the pig pen, folks, and come into my glory. We have been captivated by his love. We have been taken over by his fiery gaze. We say, God, here I am. Send me. We say, where else are we supposed to go, Jesus? Where else are we supposed to go? You've trapped us. You've literally trapped us. Don't you wake up some mornings and like, how did I get in this trap? I don't like the things of the world anymore. What in the world? Jesus is like, I trapped you. When you said yes, you stopped and you stepped into his house, and then he goes, push, shut the door and locks it, and he goes, now you're in my house. You can't go back. Listen, because you crossed the river, ain't no going back through the river. He said, I only parted it one time. I'm not going to part it 10 times. And there's a window of opportunity here, folks, to cross over. And I hope the river's still open for you to pass over. But don't wait till next month or wait till 6 months or next year and say, well, my surrender is coming at some point. My yes is coming at some point. It's got to be here right now. You have to say no to the things of the world and yes to the things of God and watch yourself fly like an eagle. You have the words of eternal life. You have taken us over. Revelation 14:4 says, these are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. We follow the Lamb wherever he goes. He told Peter, he was like, listen, Peter, there's going to be a time where someone's going to take you by the hand and you're not going to like where you're going. But Peter had decided, that he was going to follow the Lamb wherever he went. These were the redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. We say, transform us, God. I want to look just like you, Daddy. God, use me, send me. I'll travel the world for you. I want to see your face. We want your fire, Lord. Consume us, all consuming fire. I want the fire of your presence. Use me until you use me up. Pour me out as a drink offering on the altar of sacrifice. We want to share in your sufferings so we can reign with you. Here I am, Lord, send me. Can you say this with me right now? Say, here I am. Send me again. Here I am. Lord, send me. One more time. Here I am. Lord, send me. Be careful what you ask. It's too late. It came out of your mouth. It's too late. Isaiah 6, verse 1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. Remember, this is thousands of years ago. This is thousands of years ago. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, 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 holy is the Lord of hosts. He says, the whole earth is full of his glory. And my thing is, my goodness, if 4,000 years ago, the whole earth was full of his glory, what about now? And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it. That's a hot coal, folks. He didn't give him a lifesaver. He gave him a hot coal on his mouth. And you know what? It caused him pain. And he said, ow, ow. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, God. Send me. After the fire came on Isaiah, he said, here I am, send me. The fire creates power. Before we are sent, the fire must come. The iniquity must be taken away and the sin purged. The flesh must be dealt with, and God deals with it through something called the baptism of fire. Because you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then you have the baptism of fire. We hear a lot about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but we don't hear a lot about the baptism of fire. The baptism of fire is exactly what happened to Jesus after John baptized Jesus. It says the Holy Spirit led John into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The desert, scorpions, snakes, beasts, devils. And it says Jesus went in, filled, and came out on the other side with power. And isn't it interesting that before that, when John baptized him, it says a voice comes down and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And then the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness. It almost sounded like this. It was going to be this nice lullaby love story. And he was going to coddle Jesus and say, you're my son in whom I'm well pleased. But he didn't do that. He sent him into the wilderness so that what was on the inside of Jesus could be unveiled and revealed. The fire reveals what's on the inside of you. That's why the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into these diverse, all these different trials. But we have a tendency to want to run from pain, and we don't want to run to pain. The issue is our Savior ran to pain. He was put in Gethsemane, which literally means olive press. And he was pressed, and he was pressed, and he was pressed, and he was pressed. And it said that he was sweating great drops of blood because of the stress and the pressure of the situation. And it didn't stop there. He then went from that place while the disciples were sleeping and got ravished. The crown of thorns on his head. Eventually had the spear in his side. Nails in his hands and his feet. That magnitude of suffering saved you. That magnitude of suffering. So you can say it like this, the greater the suffering, the greater the glory. That's why we count it all joy when we are hit by various trials and temptations, because we know the bigger the battle, the bigger the victory. God has these things called wits ends corners, where we come to this place and we literally think we're going to die. We think there's no way out. And he brings us to those places so he'll swing wide open a door. He told Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith won't fail. And then when you get restored, now go back and strengthen your brethren. God's process is tear down, build up, tear down, build up, tear down, build up, tear down, build up. And I don't know about you, but it seems like in life, it seems like those battles and temptations and tests get bigger and get bigger and get bigger and get bigger. It's because he's looking for maturity in his sons and daughters of God. He's looking to mature us. He doesn't want to leave us as babies. He wants us to grow up. And those tests and those trials and those things that we tendency, how we want to numb ourselves and run from them and go here and there and try to. I have news for you. The fire is unquenchable. So if you're finding yourself going to these certain things, you're going to alcohol and you're like, man, that didn't satisfy me anymore. You just watch 6 episodes of something on Netflix. Man, I just feel this like it's unquenchable. Because he will get the reward for his suffering. And the reward is for you to come to this place where you realize when you look in the mirror, you're going to be a manifest son and a daughter of God. But here I am, send me. Sometimes we have no idea what we are asking for. And we forget that before we are sent, we will be tested and tried. Crucifixion always precedes coronation, and pain always precedes power. In Mark 10:35, this is what it says. It says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Okay. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you guys? They said to him, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and one on your left hand in glory. Oh, can't wait. Please say yes. Please say yes. Please, please, please. I want your fire. I want your glory. I want everything you have for me. Please, please, please. But Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking for. He says, are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Fire? He's not talking about the Spirit here. He's talking about fire. They said to him, we are able. So Jesus turns to them and says, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and my left hand, that's not mine to give, but it's for those for whom it is prepared. And then, something that I never saw before, in Acts 12:1-4, now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. That's a Zebedee. So much for the 4-car garage and the big mansion. So when he was saying that you're going to be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with, it actually happened. James is the brother of John, is thrust through with a sword. And then he went after Peter. We don't know how John died, but we know he was martyred. And sometimes we don't know exactly what we ask for. So what happens is we pray and we do these things, and then God sends this package to us. And we're like, that's not what I prayed for. And God's like, no, but it's the best thing for you. I can't wait till we get to heaven and we see all the thousands of things that we prayed for that never came to pass. And he actually gave us the thing that was the most important for us at that point in time. You say, well, this is terrible. I mean, look. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Can I tell you something? That is the most beautiful thing. He was a martyr. A martyr for Jesus. So we have it twisted and we have it upside down. I'll never forget the story about this pastor from China in this church that he was pastoring in China. And someone from outside the church was going to visit on a missions trip. And they went into this church and they were all just sobbing and weeping because the pastor was in jail. And they were just sobbing and weeping. And he was like, oh, those poor souls are like, he's like, oh, they need comforted. You know what they were crying and weeping about? Because they wanted to be tested like he was tested. They were all upset that they weren't in jail. They were all upset that they weren't being tested and tried like he was. They weren't upset because their pastor was in jail. They knew the reward was through suffering. Sometimes we don't know what we're asking for. In Matthew 3, it says this. Is everybody breathing? Exhale. One thing God promises us is that he's never going to leave us or forsake us. When he was killed with the sword, he just crossed over into a better land. But our natural mind says that's a very, very terrible, very horrible thing to happen. But to him, he was like, hey, I'm in glory, man. Yeah, it hurt when the sword went through, but I slipped on past. But God is raising up a people that aren't afraid to die for him too. In Matthew 3, it says, and even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit and fire. The fire to release the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you. It doesn't come any other way. It comes through pressure. It comes through the oil press. It comes through the testing and the trial. And this is why you can make sense out of life. Well, why is this? Why that? Why this? Why that? Why that? Because he's trying to produce in you a weighty glory. Not surface, a weighty, 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 weighty glory. And it has to do with the magnitude of suffering. But the cool thing is the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to be your comforter. I'm going to help you through the fire. I'm going to be that fourth man like Jesus in the fire. And although these times are going to be tough and it's going to be hard, I'm not going to leave you. I'm still going to be here. Well, I don't feel you. That's not what I said. I didn't say that you had to feel something. I told you that I was never going to leave your side. I told you that I'll always be your comforter. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And that winnowing fan is literally just looks like a rake. And they would take that wheat, and they would take the winnowing fan, and they would throw it up in the air, and the chaff would just blow, and the heavy grain would hit the ground. You say, why are these storms? Because the storms have come, and the wind has come, so Jesus can... blowing it away. Blowing it away. Those things that you thought you needed, he's blowing away. Those things that you thought he wanted, he's blowing away. He's blowing it all away. Blowing it all away. Until that meaty, weighty grain hits the ground. And then he looks at it and he says, now I'm satisfied. I wasn't satisfied with all this chaff and all this nonsense and all these frivolous things and all these fringe things and all this stuff. So I'm going to take you and I'm going to sift you as wheat. And I'm going to take the winnowing fan. I'm going to put you up in the air. And the wind, my spirit, the wind, the trials, the storms are going to blow. And the only thing left is going to be the grain. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. It's what's happening now in the body of Christ. He's literally brought an unquenchable fire to those things that we are not supposed to be holding on to. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven, saying, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And the next thing we just talked about, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. But he went in, filled, he came out in power. He went in, filled, and came out in power. And it is the story of us. It is the story of our life. It is a story of him developing this thing called the mature body of Christ. Isn't it interesting that the same John who literally watches that Spirit descend on in Jesus is the same John that ends up in prison and sends out messengers and says, can you ask Jesus if he's actually the one or not?
I mean, think about the ramifications of that. Think about John. John was prophesied for thousands of years to come. John comes, sees this happen to Jesus. He ends up in jail, is about ready to be beheaded. And he sends out word to Jesus. Is he the one or is he not the one? So you're going to run into these times in your life where you're literally looking out from yourself and you're saying, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought this whole thing was going to be different. But can I tell you, John the Baptist being martyred, it was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. Do you know that it says that God delights in the death of his saints? Because now you've come home. I preached this message called To Die is Gain a while back. And I talked about these two lines being formed. Okay, the live for Christ line and then to die is gain line. And like what line? Is there going to be 50 people over here and one over here? The thing is, we don't like to talk about these things. But the truth of the matter is that God has called us to these places. And sometimes they're very painful. Sometimes they're very stressful. Sometimes they're very hard. But know that he is the one. He is the one. He is the Savior. We don't have to question who he is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, this is what it says in verse 12. It says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing our way. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. 1 John 3:1-2 says this, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know when he is revealed, we shall be just like him. For we shall see him as he is. Beholding is in a mirror. The consuming fire has come. He's in the process of removing the things built on the flesh, the nature of Adam, which is sinking sand, and establishing those things that are built on Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the chief cornerstone. We're healing the sick, casting out demons, setting captives free, healing the brokenhearted, seeing blind eyes open, seeing the lame walk and raised in the dead raised in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit in Jesus, and millions, if not billions, of people to administer healing, restoration, and deliverance, the manifestation or the coming or appearing of the sons of God? You can all stand. And prayer people, if you want to come down. I believe God wants to touch some people in here today. And prayer people, if you can line the front up here. If you need healed, if you need a miracle, if you just need a touch from God, I encourage you guys to come down. To come down. Lord, we thank you for the deep, deep, deep work that you're doing in your body. Jesus, that you're doing a deep work. You're doing a deep work. You're opening up eyes so that we can see. You're taking away blinders so that we can see who you are. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are high and lifted up, and your robe fills the temple. Your glory's here right now. Your glory's here right now. Your glory's here right now. If you guys want to come up, anybody that needs a touch from God, come up.